Kia ora, and welcome to Aaron's Podcast, episode 170. Today is Friday, August 7th, 2009. And you know what that means, don't you? Today is 07, 08, 09 in New Zealand, and the rest of the world that uses this order of day, month, year, which is smallest to largest, so it's actually pretty logical if you stop to think about it. But the thing is, a lot of people have tried to make a really big deal out of the fact that, you know, they try to add the time onto it as well to make it more numbers. And one of the ones I saw was that 12 seconds past 10:11, 10:11:12. So it would be 07, 08, 09, 10:11:12. But that's not logical because the time is a subset of the day, so it should go the other way, which a lot of British people and others have been saying should be 12:34:56. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the 7th of the 8th of the 9th. But that's not logical either, because the date is 07, 08, 09. So, it seems to me, the time should have been 6 seconds past 4:05. So it would be 04, 05, 06, 07, 08, 09. Now, isn't that logical? Well, nobody listens to me, unfortunately. But I can tell you that at 04, 05, 06, I was sound asleep. Definitely. And at 12:34:56, I was, let's see, what would I have been doing then? Oh, I would have been listening to Archer Radio's group show on Pride48.com. And at 10, 11, 12 this morning, who knows what I was doing? I have no idea. But yes, and this is one of those things that's supposed to be a once-in-a-lifetime event. Yeah, well, whatever. I do like the symmetry of numbers. I've said that before. I often notice when the clock says 12:34 or even 2:34 and that sort of thing. So the fact that it's 07, 08, 09 is kind of cool in a weird sort of way. But of course, next month we have the 9th of the 9th of the 9th, and that one is the same regardless of how you express the dates. So anyway, this is a little bit of fun. I have been extremely busy this week. This is the week where I have my big monthly project, and I've had many, many late nights, like 2 a.m., Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday was about 1 a.m., and last night I actually finished. So I didn't stay up quite as late, but I am exhausted. So my mind's a little bit scattered, and I'm not going to be recording long today, but I couldn't let the auspicious occasion of 07, 08, 09 pass unremarked, as they say. But anyway, there are things that I want to talk about next week, perhaps, when I have my wits about me, actually. That's because I've got more time, but the real issue is when I have my wits about me. So I'm not actually going to do that today, but there are a couple of things in the news that I wanted to talk about. The first, I've blogged about this. There is a weird event going on the beaches throughout the Auckland region, apparently, but especially in North Shore City where we live. And something is killing dogs and other animals as well, for that matter. They're not quite sure what it is. What happened is a couple of dogs died after being walked on a beach, and about a couple dozen others or so were made sick. At the same time, there have been dolphins washing up and penguins and pilchards have been dying and other sea life. And nobody has any idea why. At first, they thought it might have been deliberate dog poisoning, because there actually was a case a year or two ago of somebody who was poisoning sausages. And although I don't recall any dogs dying from that, I think they just got sick. When this started happening, at first they thought that it was the dog poisoner at work again. Apparently they never caught him, I would guess. Well, that's now sort of being swept to the side, and they actually think that it's a toxic algae, which may be doing all of this. But there are a lot of tests to run. The first dog that died, they did not find any evidence of toxic algae, so they were ruling it out, but they're doing further tests to see if it could be that. The thing is that there's very little that could have the effects, such rapid effects. One of the things that was blamed is a poison called 1080. Which is used to kill possums and rats and things on islands like Rangitoto, which is the volcanic island to the east of Auckland. And but they haven't used that poison there for more than 10 years, so it can't be that. And even if they had just dropped poison, it dissolves in water, and it doesn't kill instantly. It's cumulative, basically. They have to have quite a bit of it in order to die, and it's not rapid. So it can't be that. And it also can't be rat poison that they've been using on those islands. Another kind of name of which escapes me off the top of my head. But so that's why they're back again to algae. And the symptoms of toxic algae poisoning are actually similar to what some of the dogs have had, where they you know, start vomiting, and they maybe have seizures and breathing difficulties and those sorts of things. And they're still trying to work it out. But in the meantime, they have the authorities have told people to keep their dogs off the beaches, and their small children as well, because you know a dog can weigh as much as a small child, or vice versa, I suppose. So they said keep your kids away as well. And they're also telling people not to gather shellfish in the Auckland region, well around the Hauraki Gulf, which is what Auckland Harbor is also called. And so that's sort of where things stand. They're basically telling people to be cautious until they find out what's going on. Now, shellfish aren't harmed by toxic algae, but they accumulate it in their bodies or whatever you call it, in their flesh. And if an animal or human eats that shellfish, then it will become contaminated as well. Poisoned is a better word. And they've found some dolphins that have washed up with stomachs full of pilchards, and they think that the pilchards may have consumed the algae, and then the dolphins ate the pilchards and then were poisoned that way. But again, a lot of this is just speculation until they sort it out. But in order to keep things nice and safe, we have sort of instituted a ban at our house that anybody who's just been to the beach isn't allowed to come into our house or into our yard even, because we want to keep Jake safe, of course. So not only are we not taking him to the beach, but we're not allowing anybody to bring the beach to him either. But it's a really strange thing, and you hear about this kind of thing more and more these days, where these strange killers show up and nobody knows what's doing it. It's usually associated with the sea in some way, sometimes lakes. And, you know, it's the fact that we're seeing these unusual algaes that we haven't seen before kind of suggests that something's going kind of wacko in the world, I think. Anyway, one other completely different story I wanted to share was that I think I mentioned this in the podcast. I know I've talked about it on the blog. And that's that when the current government came into power in the elections last year, one of the things they decided to do was to restore the what are called titular honors, which means titles. Our man gets sir and a woman gets dame if they're made a knight. And the previous Labour government had abolished it in 2000 and had put in an entirely New Zealand-based system. As it is now, the knighthoods and damehoods, or whatever you call it, dameships, I don't know, they have to be approved by the Queen because they're done in the Queen's name. The Governor General invests the honorees and dubs them the knight or whatever. And so that means it's linking back to England, which is sort of a backward step. And I'm not a real big fan of this. I don't see why New Zealand couldn't have its own knighthoods or whatever, and just not rely on the Queen for it. But that's not the way it's done. So anyway, the national-led government, which is a centre-right government, decided to reinstate these knighthoods. Well, one of the people, anybody who had received an honour from 2000 on that would have been a knighthood otherwise, was entitled to elect whether or not they wanted to be a knight or dame, as the case may be. And one of those who was offered a knighthood was Witi Ihimaria, who's a gay author in Maori. He actually has spent a lot of time teaching in the U.S., I believe in Washington, D.C. somewhere. I don't know where specifically. I suppose I could have looked it up, but I didn't. But he's written a lot of books. He's written a gay novel called The Uncle's Story, which I haven't read, but Nigel did, and he really enjoyed it. And he's written another gay novel as well, and I don't know what that one's called. I should know more about him than I do. I've only read some of his short stories and things. But one of his books was The Whale Rider, which was made into a movie. And starring Keisha Castle-Hughes. Blah, that's a tongue twister of her name. And about which more in a minute. And that was a big success for New Zealand and also for New Zealand film. And it's the film is really brilliant. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you check it out. But he's probably the best known gay person who was eligible for knighthood. I don't know, actually don't know if there are any others, to be honest, because I didn't bother looking at the list because I don't really care that much. But he turned it down. And he'll keep his title as Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit, which is the highest honor that was available after the abandonment of the knighthoods. And he apparently agreed to accept the honor only because it was an entirely New Zealand-based system and not linked in any way to the old imperial system from Britain. And he doesn't want to be called Sir, which is fair enough, you know, that's a choice. Now, of course, U.S. citizens are forbidden to take any foreign title. I think that's in the Constitution. I should have looked that up too, but I'm pretty sure it is. And so people like Colin Powell and Norman Schwarzkopf, I was trying to do it in German, Schwarzkopf, were, did I say Colin Powell? Colin, yeah, Colin, as we would say. Anyway, they have honorary knighthoods from Britain, from the Queen. And I've actually seen them referred to in the press outside of Britain. I don't know about New Zealand, but maybe it was in Britain. They're referring to him as Sir Norman, for instance, and which sounds funny. But I don't know what the situation is for dual nationals. Now, there's no way in hell I'm ever going to be given a knighthood. But if I were, I presume it would be illegal for me to take it as an American citizen, and yet I'm also a New Zealand citizen. So does that mean that when I'm in outside of the U.S., then it's okay? I don't know. These are questions I have. But one of the interesting things about knighthoods is they just haven't kept up with the times in so many ways. But one of the ways is the honorary title that's given to the spouse or partner, of, well, spouse primarily, of the honoree. They're called, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. Not convenience title, but something like courtesy title. That's what it is. The wife of a knight is called Lady So-and-so. Now, suppose it's Sir Roger Smith. I'll just make that up. She would be Lady Smith, even if she uses her maiden name. If she uses, ever use a different name, it doesn't have to be a maiden name. So suppose she's Jane Doe, she would be Jane Doe, Lady Smith, comma, Lady Smith. And as long as she lives, she's entitled to call herself that. And there's been some weirdness about, in the case of a divorce, does she get to use it, continue using it? Because theoretically, there could be a lot of Lady Smiths running around if that were the case. But that doesn't extend to women who are made a dame, and a dame is a female knight, basically. There is no courtesy title for her husband, and the reason is that nobody's ever been able to come up with one. They've been trying in Britain, where there are a lot more sirs and dames running around than here, and they haven't been able to come up with anything that is satisfactory to them. But what it does mean is that a gay or lesbian person, well, a gay man who's made a knight, has no title for his partner. Because obviously you're not going to call a male partner Lady So-and-so. Well, some of them you might want to, but that wouldn't be proper. And because there's no male title for the husband of a dame, clearly there wouldn't be a male title for a husband of a knight. So I don't know. This is kind of a weird little anomaly. And I was thinking of that recently when I was reading about knighthoods and damehoods and all that stuff on the government website. If I think about it, I'll put a link in the show notes. But I mentioned in passing Keisha Castle Hughes. I don't know why I can't say her name, who was the star of Whale Rider. She has been in the news lately because she is now a ambassador on global warming, and she's trying to get people to pay attention to it and so on. Well, the Prime Minister was in where the heck was it, Brisbane or whatever, for some meeting of the Pacific Islands Forum, I think it was, and he said that she should stick to acting. Now, I mean, a lot of politicians say that sort of thing about actors. And, you know, you can sort of dismiss it with a grain of salt. But why did he pick Australia to trash a New Zealand actress? I don't understand this. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But the thing is, she responded, and I thought it was really, really good. She's, instead of saying, you know, trying to defend her right to speak out and all that as an actress, she said, first and foremost, I'm a mother, and I'm speaking out for my child and other people's children as well. Which I thought was a really good comeback. And it turns out that now she and the Prime Minister are going to get together for a chat, as the Prime Minister put it. So I don't know what she's going to end up saying to the Prime Minister, but that's one of the things that apparently is going to be in the news in the, well, I don't know, next week or two, I suppose. In other New Zealand news, there's always New Zealand news, house prices are inching up again. They have managed to hold on to the gains that they've made in recent months, which is all good for homeowners because, you know, in this recession, a lot of homes have lost value, which means that theoretically you could end up owing more than the house is worth. And that happened to a lot of people in the U.S., and they ended up losing their homes. In New Zealand, the banks have pretty much just kept things going as long as the payments are being made. They may not be happy about the loss of equity, but they're just going to let it go because, I mean, people don't lose their jobs just because, you know, their house has gone down in value. But as I said, houses have actually stabilized, apparently, in New Zealand, or at least the main centers like Auckland. However, unemployment has now gone up to 6%, which is still significantly lower than the U.S. or Britain or Europe, but it's now slightly higher than Australia's. And it's the highest level it's been in something like 11 years, I think, if I remember correctly. And they think it's going to peak somewhere between 7 and 7.6% before it starts falling again. Oh, did you hear Jakey shaking in the background? He's got a new collar. I paid his dog tax last week, which is actually kind of funny because it's not called that. It's called, what are they called, registration fee or something. But I went in there being my good old churlish American self and said, I want to pay my dog tax. They have this thing they do with a lot of government bills like that where they'll have two prices, the one that's due. You pay the certain price if it's on this date, and if you wait until afterwards, then you have to pay more. Well, the thing is that it's actually due on that date, so it's not like they're giving you a discount. They're telling you the price that it is on the day that it's due, and if you're past due, then there are penalties. So it's sort of a reverse psychology. They want people to think that they're getting a special deal if they pay by this date, when in fact, that's just the price. They're not getting a special price. They're just avoiding the penalties that they'd have to pay if they waited later. But they most councils, I think, used to do that. They used to say, pay it by this date. If you don't, you have to pay this additional penalty. And they were still having people paying the penalty. When they turned it around and said, if you pay it, this is how much you have to pay. But if you pay by this date, it's only this much. Then what ended up happening is that people started paying on time or early, which is what the councils wanted. And it's funny how people are, huh? But a little something like that can make people sort of change their behaviors because they think they're getting a good deal, even though it's exactly the same. Jake's dog tax is $70 a year, in case you're interested, because he's de-sexed, as they call it, and microchipped. Well, microchipping is mandatory now for all newly registered dogs. But I think I mentioned this before when we got his microchip. We got one that's used throughout the Pacific region, the Pacific Islands in Australia, because, you know, you never know where you're going to live in the future. And so I thought, well, you know, it's best to get the Cadillac of dog chips so that we're protected and he's protected no matter where we end up in the years ahead, because you just never know, do you? Well, those are just a few topics that are of absolutely no importance, but it's about all my tired brain could come up with today. So the last thing I'm going to do today is I'm just going to go over a few comments that I had. And the first was from, episode 168, Assorted Miscellany. And the first comment was from Rachel Not Maddow, who said, make a pumpkin pie without using canned pumpkin. How un-American. Kind of fitting, though, LOL. And I said, I know, right? That's why, when I was last in the U.S., I bought 3 cans of pumpkin so I could make a proper pumpkin pie. I'm still not brave enough to try to make the pumpkin, try the pumpkin puree route. And if you go to the comments, I have links to 2 blog posts that's actually referring to. One day I may be brave enough to try the pumpkin puree, but actually, I think I've said this before, in New Zealand, pumpkin is any kind of what I would call squash. And they're just different varieties. But anyway, I still have 2 cans left and they don't expire for another year or so. So as long as that's the case, the thing is that I have to get brave about making my own pastry, and I've never done that in my life. That's part of the holdup, but certainly I'll make one for Thanksgiving anyway. And the next comment was from Tom the Ramble Redhead, who said, wow, my life is complete now because I know how to say penis in Maori. Woo! Seriously, thanks for the shout-outs, and always enjoy your show. Well, thank you, Tom, and thank you, Rachel, as well. The only comment on the special episode I had was from Ms. Kim Beaver herself, who, as you might expect, was kind of thrilled at all the attention that the podcasters were giving here on that. That wasn't a real episode. That was just sort of a partial repeat of an earlier one. But all the same. And Big Fat ultimately did acknowledge that I did it first. But Kim said, oh, guys, you're all so fabulous. When you come to visit me at the lodge, I will cook you something special, and I promise it will be whale-free and not disgusting. Love you, Arthur. Captain Kiwi's my hero. Thank you, Kim. And it was kind of fun that so many podcasters recognized the National Day of the Faroe Islands at once. But I knew that I was going to do something like that, so that's why I was being kind of vague about how many episodes I was going to have that week. I just wasn't sure if I was going to do something new and different, or if I was just going to point out the fact that I'd already done that. And, well, you know what the answer is now. Now, there will be a two political episode the first part of next week, it looks like, depending on if Jason's schedule changes or not, but that's what we're looking at right now. And, of course, you still have time to ring that comment line or to leave comments over there if there's something specific you'd like us to address. I mean, the thing is, doing that show every 2 weeks means that the news is always changing and the things that we're going to discuss are always changing. But nevertheless, there might be a specific topic that you'd like us to talk about. And by all means, you can bring the comment line there or leave a comment. I tell you what the comment line is, but I don't know it off the top of my head because I don't have that website open. And anyway, I want to direct calls to my comment line because I'm going to need to ring it again if I don't get another call before the third week of August. So that's what? That's not quite 2 weeks, I think. Yeah, well, a little over 2 weeks before I have to ring it myself if nobody else does. But that's it for today. As I said, we'll have two political the first part of next week, and I expect to be back later in the week with another Amarin's podcast. But that's it for today. That's it for this week. I'm going to go rest up. Have a good weekend, everybody. God, I'm tired. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amarin's podcast at amarinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amarinspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.